Okay. Turn with me in your Bibles again this morning to the book of Haggai, chapter 1. We're going to be continuing our series on building the temple of the Lord. In fact, if you get tired of this series, you're going to be tired of it for quite a while because we're going to be several weeks in this. This is part 2. Again, building the temple of the Lord, part 2, and this is subtitled The New Covenant Temple. The New Covenant Temple. Okay. Haggai chapter 1. And we'll begin reading in verse 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. We'll stop here for a second. And remember, as we talked last week with the background historical information, that the children of Israel, through their disobedience and their persistence in following their own heart and doing what they wanted to do, and looking at the peoples of the nations around them and wanting to copy them and thinking there's some credit and merit in what everybody else is doing, what a fallacy that is. And how many people fall into that? Well, it must be, you know, the thing that they said about Elvis, 200 million fans can't be wrong, or whatever it is. You know, there's so many people doing it that it must be right. And we see ourselves, and, you know, we're just a little bitty group in the world out there, and it's a big, huge group, and there must be something to it because there's so many people doing it. That's so wrong. We don't develop truth by looking and seeing what everybody else is doing. My mom used to say to me, if everybody else walked off the edge of a cliff, would you do it? No. Well, why are you doing everything else everybody else is doing? You know, we're to follow the Lord. And the people were following their own ways and doing their own thing and following the nations around them. And they refused to repent when God sent the prophets over and over again. So finally He said to them through the prophets that I'm going to send you into exile. Your enemies will be your master. And so that's exactly what happened. The Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar came and sent armies to the southern kingdom of Judah. And they came and conquered and burned and razed Jerusalem to the ground, and they took away captives back to the Babylonian Empire, and they killed people, and they left a few in the land, and they were in captivity for about 70 years. And finally, another king came along, and he gave his decree that they could go back, the children of Israel could go back and reestablish their worship unto their Lord. And so he allowed them to go back with papers and everything, to go back and rebuild their temple and reinstitute the sacrifices. And so they went back, and as they were doing it, they built an altar and began to sacrifice on the altar, and they began to build, lay the foundation of the temple. Once they got the first course laid, they ended up stopping because of the opposition that was taking place. They began to have such strong opposition that they decided that, well, maybe it's not time after all. And so this is where we come into the story that thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses or in your paneled houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood, and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. We found out last week that the Lord wanted His temple to be rebuilt. The temple was the place where the presence of Almighty God and the glory of the Lord was manifested. It is a place where God could show His people that He created that He is real and He is alive and He is worthy to be worshipped, worthy to be adored, and that He would pour out His blessing upon them. Through everything that God had done in releasing them from the 70 years of captivity and putting it in a king's... Just think about this. Putting it in a king's heart to send you back to the land that you've been taken from in order to reinstitute and rebuild a temple that His people destroyed. Now, you got to see God's hand at work in this. How in the world they could come to the conclusion that it wasn't time? God's hand was all over it. God's fingerprint, His timing was all over it. It was evident that this was the timing of the Lord. It wasn't the Lord speaking it was the wrong time. It was the circumstances speaking that it was not time. The people came in a strong opposition to the work and eventually stopped it. The voice of the opposition became more meaningful and more real than the voice of the Lord. The people began to agree with the voice of opposition and began to repeat it as truth. We need to be so careful that not only do we speak up and within our own heart, within our own families, speak and say, "Thus saith the Lord." The things that are going on in the world, the things that are being spoken concerning how the heathen live and what's acceptable in their world, that we speak up and, first of all, don't allow that ourselves to be contaminated with that, but begin to speak truth to anybody who will listen. And try to find people who will listen. Speak the word of the Lord to people. Where else are they going to hear it? We were talking about this in our time of prayer this morning. Where else are people going to hear that the things that are evil are evil? Who's going to tell them it's evil? Is the devil going to tell them it's evil? No. The devil's going to tell them it's all right. That's what everybody's doing. Are the friends in school, the TV programs? I was flipping across the channels the other day and I saw something that I never thought in my life that I would see on mainstream TV. It sickened me to see what was shown on television. And I must admit I was frozen for a few minutes because I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And then later in disgust, I moved on to another channel. But it's no longer something that may come. It's here. It's being portrayed as being right, as just being a normal part of life. And I'm not afraid to say it. Homosexuality is wrong. It's evil. It's not the only evil thing out there. It's not the only evil thing that's being done. It's not the only thing that we should concentrate on. There's all kinds of evil. But I am surprised at how quickly something that was a perversion when I was a child, and it seemed like everybody knew it, has changed to the point where nobody knows it anymore. Nobody thinks it's a perversion anymore. And people who do are outdated and backwards and hillbillies and bigoted and small-minded. How could that have changed in my lifetime? When I was young, everybody knew it was wrong. And the people who didn't think it was wrong, there were very few. And now it's like it's completely opposite. But we must be willing to speak the truth. Speak, "Thus saith the Lord," because the world is not going to hear it any other place. Then the Lord sent Haggai, the prophet, to remind them of His will and to give direction and impetus to the will of the Lord being done. We talked last week that we must be willing and ready to hear the voice of the Lord as it is spoken by His prophets. There are prophets that are speaking today. There are men of God who speak, thus saith the Lord. This is the now word of the Lord. It's not just those words that were written in this book. And I thank God for this book. And I thank God that this takes priority and precedence over everything. And this lets us know whether the men of God that are speaking today are speaking truth. Because we put it up to the standard of this word, and if it doesn't match, we throw it out. But if it does match up, and it is in accordance with the will, the written will of the Lord, that there are people who do speak, thus saith the Lord today, and the Lord is speaking to His people today. And we must be willing and ready to obey, not just to hear the voice of the Lord, but obey the voice of the Lord. What a tragedy it is when we hear God speak and yet do nothing with it. If you can sit in a meeting and hear God speak, and hear God speak to you, and I know God speaks to people, and I know people get convicted over things, and yet go out and do, and live their life the whole next week the same way they lived the week before they heard the word of the Lord, brothers and sisters, that's what got Israel in the trouble they were in. God spoke and they did nothing about it. We cannot be a people that hears the word of the Lord and goes out the same way we came in. God's word to us requires a response. Whenever we have a prophetic word, we need to be saying, when we know it's the word of the Lord, at least we ought to be saying, amen. Yes, I agree. But if it requires a personal response from us because God's speaking to us, then we need to do something about it. If the Lord, when the Lord comes to our meeting and says, someone here has an issue they need to deal with today, that's not tomorrow. God said today. People ought to be climbing over themselves to get to the altar if it affects that many people. We must not be a people that think that we can just put off the word of the Lord. It doesn't matter. It does matter. We need to respond. And God said to the prophet, consider your ways. Consider the road. The way the word ways means roads or paths or journeys. It's not your mannerisms. It's the road you've been walking. It's how you've been traveling. It's what you've been doing. It's the path you're on. The road you're traveling will determine your destination. If you are in a bad place now, you got to that place because of the road you were on. Consider how you got there. Consider your ways. Think about it. If things aren't working for you, what did you do to earn it? If you got a health issue, now not everything is caused by us, I know, but one of the first things you ought to think, if I've got a health issue on my body, did I do something to allow it, to encourage it, to cause it to happen? Sometimes the devil will come up and when we got our head turned, he'll just come and slap us with something. We didn't do anything. I'm not going to put people on a guilt trip. I'm not saying every time something is going wrong in your body, you did something. But that should be one of the first things that we look at. Did I do something to encourage this? Did I do something to earn this? Did my diet do this? Do I know that that's bad for me, yet I do it anyway? Did I do this to myself? Have I been, and if you look at the Word of God, when we don't discern the Lord's body, He said many are sick and weak, and many even have died because they don't discern the Lord's body. If I got something going on in my body that's not right, I need to think to myself, am I being wrong? Am I carrying bitterness against somebody in the body of Christ? If not, don't beat yourself up over it. But think, just be real about it. Consider your ways. Things happen to good people. Things come against. The devil comes against good people who are doing everything right. And sometimes he comes against you because you are doing right. So don't think just because you have something come against you that it's got to be something you did wrong. But at least you should consider it. Did I do that? At least eliminate it. As the British police always say, we want to eliminate you from our inquiries. going to eliminate that from the possibilities. No, okay, I know I'm right with God. I know I'm right with the people of God. I know I didn't do it to myself, so I'm not going to sit here and beat myself up. I'm going to trust God, and He's going to get me through this. Or, yes, I did do that, and I am carrying bitterness against somebody. I need to go make that right. I'm not going to carry this on anymore because I'm never going to get healed of this thing that is bothering me unless I go make this right with my brother or my sister. Or I'm never going to totally get healed of this health condition because until I change the way I'm doing things. Consider your ways. Is everybody with me on that? Then He said, go to the mountain and get wood. We need to move towards our calling. Don't wait to be moved. Don't wait for something supernatural to happen. Don't wait for God to throw you into the fray. If you know God wants you to go in a direction, get up and start moving that direction. Invest yourself in the will of God. Go up to the mountain and get wood, and we found out that only the best will do for His temple. What God is building is going to take our best. It's going to take our best effort. It's going to take our best things. It's going to take our best thoughts. It's going to take our best attempts. It's going to take the first fruits. What comes first in our life, not the junk and the scraps and the cast-offs. Don't think that those things will do. God will not accept those things of us. And the Lord said, I will receive pleasure and I will be glorified. You know, pleasing and glorifying God should be that which motivates us the most and the strongest. If we take care of His business, then He will take care of ours. Do you believe that this morning?
Amen.
Does anybody besides Debbie believe that this morning?
Amen.
Do you believe that if you take care of God's business, and you invest yourself in His business, that He will take care of yours? Can He be trusted? Or do you think God will just take you for all you got and throw you on the scrap heap and go after somebody else? Is that the kind of God you think we're serving? Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. I'm here telling you, thus saith the Lord, if you invest yourself in the kingdom of God fully and completely, you will lack nothing that you need in order to accomplish what He tells you to do.
Amen.
The Lord stirs up the spirits of those who commit to put Him first. Don't wait for a good feeling in order to obey. Obey first, and then the feelings will come. Don't sit around and wait for everything to be lined up just right. Man, my bank account's bigger than it's ever been. And I feel more confident in the economy than I've ever felt. And I feel like my job will be there forever. So I'm going to give a little this week. That's not how it works. We obey God from what He tells us to do, regardless of the circumstances. And then He will make sure that we have what we need. I'll begin to lay, you know, I'm feeling pretty good this week. I'm feeling good about myself. You know, I had a couple of good compliments this week. Somebody told me I looked handsome. Somebody else told me that they heard me singing and it sounded good. And then I got 16 hits on the website this week on my sermon. I'm feeling pretty good about myself this week. So I can give a little love to somebody else because my tank is so full. I can give a little love to somebody else because I'm feeling so loved. You can't wait for all these good things to be piled up in your life and for you then to take some of the off the top and give some more to somebody else. That's not how it works. Obey God. If God says, go show that person some love. Go ask if you can pray for them. Lord, I feel just empty as can be. Like the guy who was laying in bed one morning, and his mom came into his room and said, Johnny, get up. It's time for you to get ready to go to church this morning, church service. He said, oh, Mom, I don't want to go. She said, Johnny, you gotta get up, get ready for church. He said, "Mom, I don't want to go. They don't really care for me much down there, and the deacons seem like they're always mad at me all the time." She said, "Johnny, it doesn't matter. No, you're 40 years old and you're the pastor. You got to go." If we waited until we were just about to pop to be able to preach the Word of God, sometimes you just got to do it in faith. Sometimes the feeling, you know, one week you can stand there, you can be all full of feeling, and the next week it just seems like you're dry as a bone. I remember a long time ago, Susan came up to me one time after a service and she said, "That was the best message you ever preached." And I thought, man, I thought it stunk. I was going by how I was feeling. The whole time I was up there preaching, I didn't feel a thing. But I was trusting in God's anointing, so I just kept going. I kept preaching. And she said, "That was the best message you ever preached." I thought, man, God, that just goes to show. It can't go by your feelings. You can't wait until you've got enough in you in order to obey God. Obey God first, and then the feelings will follow. And then we ended up last week again talking about consider your ways as the prophet had spoken. Do your ways please the Lord? The way you've been going, the road you've been on, does it please the Lord? Have you been going His way? Have you been putting Him first? Do you desire to accomplish His will above all other considerations? Consider your ways. Now part two we're moving into today is the new covenant temple. Remember, we ended last week by talking about some new covenant application to what God was saying concerning building the temple of the Lord. And it's important as we get into this, we're again laying more and more of the foundation of where we're headed with this. And even what we get into today is going to bring more revelation, but we're not even scratching the surface of what God really wants to show us as we get deeper and deeper into this message. But this can be life-changing to you if you'll just receive what the Lord is saying. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Over in the New Testament. The subtitle to this part two, again, is the New Covenant Temple. I didn't say the New Testament Temple because there was a temple in the New Testament that was the old Jewish temple. And we're not talking about that. We're not talking about the Jewish temple. But only as it's mentioned in the New Testament. But we're talking about the New Covenant Temple. The covenant that God has made with us through Jesus. And I'm talking instead of turning. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we'll begin reading in verse 15. "But I said to you last week that there are applications and that the word that was spoken concerning the temple being rebuilt, I believe is very important for us today because there are many people, especially in the U.S. and especially in Western Christianity, who have made a start in following God, and because of opposition, because of things going on in churches and groups and because of people infighting and because of all kinds of stuff, they have given up and gone back and say, you know, I can do a better job just worshiping Jesus at home. We'll have a little family time and I'll just go out and make money and take care of my own stuff and I'll get to heaven one day and enough of this nonsense." I know, I was there. I spent 15 or 14 years in that situation. Almost the time that in the book of Haggai, the ones that came back, the exiles that returned, spent about 14, 16 years in that period of neglecting the work of the Lord because of opposition. I was about that same period of time. And there's a lot of people who are out there today. And the word of the Lord is coming to everybody saying, my plan has not stopped. It didn't end. Just because you had some opposition, just because you got your feelings hurt, just because you got your toes stepped on, just because people said evil stuff about you that wasn't true. You know, they said stuff that wasn't true about Jesus. And yet He continued to do His ministry. And God is saying, it's time that my will is being done. Forget about all your hurts. Forget about your disappointments. Forget about the things that never worked before. I still have a plan. Don't listen to the voices that say, is it time? These people say it's not time. It is time. God hasn't done everything He's done in order just to let things fall by the wayside. So He has a temple that He wants built. Let's find out what that is. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God with your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We used to sing a little song when I first came to the Lord. It goes, know ye not, ye are the temple. Know ye not, ye are the temple. Know ye not, ye are the temple. Ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. I'm filled with praise, filled with power, filled with glory. I'm filled with praise, filled with power, filled with glory. I'm filled with praise, filled with power, filled with glory. I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There was an old covenant temple. The old covenant temple was a building built by man where God said, I will allow my glory to be manifested there. I will let my presence be manifested there. It is too... Man cannot understand me being everywhere and manifesting myself anywhere, but he could probably understand if I would contain myself in this building. But I do want to show myself. I do want you to know that I'm real. I do want you to know that the glory of God would fill the temple at times, and the priest couldn't even stand to minister on the floor. The glory of God was so strong. He doesn't inhabit a building like that now, made of brick and mortar. But He wants to inhabit a temple and show Himself, and we individually are His temple. You, if you're born again, if you're a child of God, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Glorify God with your body. Remember what He said over in the oath, in Haggai the prophet? He said, if you will go build the temple, He said, I will be glorified. If you will allow your body to be the temple of the Holy Ghost and realize that God lives in you, He dwells in you, He walks in you, He wants to talk through you, He wants to lay His hand through your hand on other people, He wants to speak to people through your voice. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost if you're born again this morning. Glorify God with your body. Please Him. You know what? In order for you to glorify God with your body, you must have a body that's alive. I'm going to be real practical about some things. We're not going to spend a lot of time talking about the individual temple. We're going to talk about us collectively. But we can't skip over this because this is important, because we're only collectively the temple when we are individually the temple. Amen?
Amen.
We can't come together and be the temple of the Holy Ghost if we're not individually the temple of the Holy Ghost. If we're a bunch of unsaved people just coming into this building and reading a few scriptures and singing a few songs, that does not make us the temple of the Holy Ghost. It's only when we individually are the temple of the Holy Ghost that we can come together and experience God in a greater way. But you must be alive to do any good. One of the things I want you to see here this morning is it matters whether you live or die. If you are going to be the temple of the Holy Ghost, that He dwells within you and walks in you and talks in you, you have to be physically alive. Your body matters. I don't care, and it's a shame some of our older members aren't here this morning, but make sure they hear this. It doesn't matter how old you are. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Fight for life. Hang on to life with everything you have. Don't give up. Don't lay down. Don't say, I'm old. I'm almost gone. I'm old. You have a body. It may not work as well as some 16-year-old, but you still have a body. You have life in your body. Prize that life. You may be here this morning, you're not old, but you're not feeling very well. Maybe your body's just kind of run down because maybe you did it to yourself, maybe you didn't, maybe it's the attack of the devil, I don't know. But never, ever, ever give up. Keep pressing into God for health. Keep trying new things for health. It's worth it. Because your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It has to be alive to be worth something on this earth. Now, once we die, we go to be with the Lord. Praise God. What a wonderful thing. But we're not going to accomplish His will on this earth up there. Our job's done. It's over. It's finished. You might say, yeah, well, I just don't feel so good. I'd just rather go and be with the Lord. Okay, I can understand feeling that bad. I felt that bad before too. But giving up on this life is saying, I'm giving up on my job. I'm giving up on what He's called me to do. He wants me to do something for Him on this earth. I've got to fight for life. Fight to stay alive. I've had a sinus infection for a long time, and I've been praying over it. And I can't, you know, I've considered am I in wrong relationship with somebody? Am I doing this to myself? You know, I've considered my ways in it, and I don't know what the answer is, but I do know that the answer right now is don't give up. Well, this is how I'm going to be the rest of my life. I'm going to go to my grave with a sinus infection. I can't shake it. I'm not giving in. I bought a new thing the other day and some oil of this and oil of that and all that, put in a steamer and about blew my head off smelling that steam. Burned my nostrils, burned everything. A guy said on the YouTube about trying some lime juice, snorting that up your nose. You know, I might even do that one day if this other thing don't work. Y'all hear yelling going on from over near my house. You know what's happening. Sometimes I did a juice fast for 6 days the other week. Why did I do it? Trying to get rid of it. Fight. Don't give up. Fight. Life is worth it. Your body needs to be alive. And it needs to be as healthy as possible to do the most good. Don't give up on health. Don't. Please don't buy into this thing of, you know, I like it so much I can't give it up. I don't care what it is. I don't care how much you like it. Is it something that's affecting your life? Is it something affecting your health? Is it something affecting your ability to do the will of God on this earth? And if it is, it ought to be something that you can lay down for His glory. I'm not going to tell you what it is. We shouldn't all be doing that either. Go around judging one another. You know, maybe I can have a Dr. Pepper and it won't do me a bit of good. A bit of... It probably won't do me a bit of good. It probably won't do me a bit of harm. So, you know, you see me drinking a Dr. Pepper and you know that it'll kill you. And I'm over here drinking and I can drink it with freedom. But you know what? So let's don't get into that thing of going around judging people and going through people's cupboards and all that kind of stuff. We don't need to be doing that, but we do need to be saying to people, are you sure you have the freedom from God to do that? If you do, go ahead. Or are you just giving up and say, I don't care what God thinks, I like it. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
Some of you need to be eating some vegetables. I'm just telling you plain. Some of you need to be eating some vegetables because it's good for you. It's not my job to tell you that. But it's my job to tell you that if you're not eating vegetables and you're doing it out of stubbornness, then your stubbornness is an affront to God. If I get in your business and tell you how many vegetables you need to eat, and well, we're not to be food Nazis, okay? Let's give one another freedom to do what people feel like they have freedom to do. But when we know somebody's in rebellion against God and we can see something, we need to be pulling one another up on that. Why? Because our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And in order to be an effective temple, it needs to be able to get around. If God wants to go minister to somebody through me, I need to be able to get over there. If I can't make it over there because I'm about to die right here, then I'm not able to do as much. And if I am in a place where I'm about to die right here, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep fighting until I do die. Are y'all with me? Please hear what I'm saying. It's precious. Our life is precious. It was given to us by God. Fight to hang on to it. Fight to make it better. Fight to get the most out of it. Find out, what is God saying? Is God saying you're wrong and your relationships with people is what's keeping you down? You're wrong. Your diet's keeping you down. Find out what God's saying. Or He may be just saying, just trust me, I'll heal you. Just put your full confidence in me, I'll heal you. Go around confessing the fact that you're going to be healed in Jesus' name. You're going to be free of this thing in Jesus' name. Whatever it is, listen to God. I'm telling you, listen to God. But don't give up. Keep fighting. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I told you we're not going to spend a long time there. It's not just your health. It's what you do with your body. One of the things it said about fornication, being united with someone who's not your husband or your wife, is a sin against your own body. There are what people have termed as soul ties that take place when a person becomes intimate with another person that's not their husband or their wife. And you can have a soul tie without the sexual act, but I guarantee you, just getting emotionally involved, letting yourself get beyond emotionally involved in somebody before your relationship should allow you to get there. That may or may not happen, but it will definitely happen, according to the Scripture, when you get involved with somebody physically. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now listen to this in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll begin reading verse 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God? Who's the temple of God? You are, your body. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Another thing concerning our bodies, we must be holy in order to be known as His, belonging to Him. So that there's no doubt, there's no confusion. Our bodies should be holy in how we act, what we do to them. So that when other people look at us, there's no confusion that that person belongs to the Lord, that God dwells in that person. What adds confusion to it? Well, the Scripture says, Jesus said, what you let out of your mouth defiles a man even more than what you put in your mouth. You think that Dr. Pepper is bad for some folks? You let something out of your mouth that is ungodly, that's even worse for you than that. Be careful what comes out of your mouth. Everything that comes out of your mouth should be saying, God lives here. God lives here. He dwells here. Let me pray for you. Let me love you. Let me teach you. Let me help you. I forgive you. These are the things that should be coming out of your mouth. I'm angry at you. I hate you. I don't want to see you. I'm disgusted. You made me sick. You're a fool. These things coming out defile a man. And don't say God lives here. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Don't bring confusion in the lives of other people. What you wear and how you wear it. We can go on for, this could be a really long, in-depth series, and it's, we probably need to touch on these things later on because they're all important, but that's not where we're headed. I just want to show you. It is important enough to touch on. How you wear your clothes, how revealing they are, what you are revealing. Is it revealing God lives here or a slut lives here? He said that in church. Somebody needs to. Maybe not to anybody here, but somebody needs to. Either God lives here or some egotistical guy lives here. What you do with yourself, how you draw your attention to yourself, is either saying that God lives here or somebody who wants to be like the world is living in here. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. It's very important that we understand the holiness of God. And He's called us. There is no agreement, He says, with the temple of the Lord and idols. There is no agreement. You can't have both and God be happy with it. You can't be filled with the Holy Ghost and have a devil's head tattooed on your arm. Come on, don't shout me down just because I'm preaching good. That's a confusing message. That's not telling people who lives here. It's confusing. We have holiness is being separated unto God for His use only. You know, Our body is our earth suit. It's what we wear to get around in this earthly environment. Our spirit lives inside of the body. That's the real us. Our body just carries our spirit. And if we're born again, it carries the Spirit of God as well. Now, someone who wears a spacesuit would be working for NASA. And so they would have a spacesuit that NASA issues. And it was bought with a price. And it was given for this person to be a part of the NASA program. Do you think just because you've been given a spacesuit from NASA that they would allow you to go and paint devil's heads on the outside of their spacesuit? Or a swastika? You know, you'd have to go and say, hey, do you approve of me having anything on this rather than NASA space program? I bet they would say, no, we don't allow that. Because we want you to represent us. Brothers and sisters, it's that way with our bodies. We represent the Lord. We've been bought with a price. I don't think God's up there giving permission for you to go out and glorify His enemy with His stuff and put it on your space suit, on your earth suit. Like I said, we could get into this in a long way. And I know there's a lot of legalistic stuff that can come out of this, and maybe some already think I've crossed the line. I don't believe I have. I'm just talking no nonsense. This is what the Word of God says. It's got to mean something. It's got to mean something. I didn't tell you what length your dress you ought to be. I didn't say what is too revealing. But let's face it, there are things that are too revealing. There are some things that are too short. There are some things that say too much about us and not about God. Be honest, go before God and say, God, how can I do these things and be in agreement with your scriptures? And if you have an honest heart before God, God will begin to show you some things. When Susan got saved, nobody taught her anything. All of a sudden, modesty became a big issue with her. For the longest time, she would button every button she had all the way up to the top. She doesn't do that now. But she just wanted to make sure she didn't do anything wrong. Sometimes, maybe we need to swing a little bit farther the other way for a while just to get free from some of the stuff we were in. Just to walk far enough away from it that we'll never walk that far again. And then God will bring some freedom to us. And we don't have to have it all the way up to here. But I guarantee you, because you've learned that that is important, you won't go all the way down to there either. Our bodies say something. They mean something. They're the temple of the Holy Ghost. Okay, now let's move on. Not that saying more is not important. It's just not the intent of this series. We corporately are the temple of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 2. Turn with me there. I'm going to have to motor through this. But we will be getting into this in a much, much deeper way as we go. And so I think I can get us through here pretty quickly and then not lose what the Lord wants to say. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, the world without end. Amen. That's not the right scripture verse. Well, praise the Lord. Jason, what do I do?
Chapter 2, verse 19.
Oh, it was 3. I was in the wrong chapter. Thank you. Okay, start in the real chapter 2, in the real verse 19. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. We are being builded together to be a temple, a dwelling place for God. Fitly framed, it says, or that means closely joined together. This says 3 very important things. Number 1, that we have a place in the building. If you're born again today, you have a place in the building. You have a place in the temple that God is building. Number 2, our place is being closely joined and attached to others. You are not on special assignment out on your own somewhere. God doesn't have any loose bricks laying around. God, when He forms a brick, when you're born again, you become a brick in the kingdom, in His, to be added to His temple, He puts you in where it pleases Him. And you're closely joined and attached to others. And we are bonded in place. Whether it's with boards and nails, or bricks and mortar, either way you look at it, you're bonded closely together with others. Two boards being joined together, a nail going through brings them up tight. They're together. Two bricks joined together. They're joined together with mortar between them. They're together. They're bonded together. What God is building, He's taking individuals and putting them together. Togetherness and oneness is a key thing to where we're headed with this. And this is the Scripture. I'm not making this stuff up. This is what God is saying. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him. We've got several different analogies going in the Scripture. God talks about His people being His people, the family of God, talks about them being a temple, talks about them being a building, talks about them being a body. All of the different analogies are important. So whether we're talking about members of a body, which is the arms and legs of a body being joined together, or bricks joined together, we're talking about the same thing, and that is God is putting individuals together in something bigger than themselves. I had a football coach said to us one time, it was one of his favorite things to fire us up. He said, "Men, I want you to lose yourself in something far greater than yourself." That carries a whole lot more weight when you realize that God is saying that to us about something that's eternal. It carried a little bit of weight talking about a game I like to play. But when we're talking about the God of the universe telling us that He is putting us and we are losing ourselves into something far greater than ourselves, and that is His will, we need to take that serious. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. It's very wordy, and to really get the most of it, you either have to have somebody explain it to you, or you sit down and just work your way through it to get the meaning. But what he's saying is God is building a church, and this is where we got the apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastor and teacher, the Ephesians 4:11 gift ministries that are at work in the church to help bring the body of Christ into oneness, into unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. And it says right here, the whole body fitly joined together. It's the same thing you said over in Ephesians chapter 2, fitly joined together or closely joined together. And compacted by that which every joint supplieth. What is a joint? Now, nobody say a place where you drink beer, okay? What's a joint? It's not something you smoke either, okay. Concerning the body, what is a joint? A place where you take your body to drink beer. No. A joint is where two members meet. Where two different parts meet. That's a joint. Where this part of my arm and this part of my arm meet together, there's a joint there. It's called an elbow. Where this part of my arm and this my shoulder meet, what's that called up there? Shoulder joint. Okay, there's joints. This one right here, what's that called? Knee. Okay. A joint is where two parts of the body meet. He's saying there's nourishment that is ministered and the effectual working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying itself in love. Where two joints, where two members of the body meet, that is where the growth takes place. So as we are fitted together and joined tightly together, we interact with one another and we give to one another the way God wants us to give, and we look out for one another, because not only are we the building, noun, but we are part of the building, the verb. We are part of the building process. We'll get into that more next week. But we see our health begin to take place, because where two parts meet, it's the effectual working of every part. We begin to see this take shape. Colossians 2 and verse 19, all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increaseth with the increase of God. We increase, we grow. Talk about building the temple of the Lord. First of all, you allow yourself to be built, and then as you're in the building, as we minister one to another, the building continues. It continues to grow. It continues to be strengthened. Because we're closely knit together. We're so close, we begin to share what we have within us with one another. And what's within you, Jason, ministers life to me. And what's within me ministers life to you. As we do that with one another, then the building begins to grow. Whether it's body building, it doesn't matter. It all happens the same. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we see that the end result is that there should be no schism in the body, and we should have the same care one for another. We're going to end here this morning. But whether the Lord uses the analogy of a building or a body, it's clear that His intent is that what He is building for a purpose. And that the purpose pleases Him. You want to please the Lord this morning? Is your intent to please the Lord? Then just like Haggai said to the people, get involved in building the temple of the Lord. Get involved. Go out of your comfort zone. Go to the mountain. Get the wood. Bring your best. Because when we bring our best and we put our best together, remember the New Testament, the New Covenant temple, is strengthened by that which every joint supplies. When we come together and we meet together and we minister one to another, the building increases. And God says, just like He said in the book of Haggai, I take pleasure in that. There's a purpose why He wants His church to be strong. His church is called the body. His body. His church is called the building. We collectively, when I said we collectively, I'm talking about the church. The church is what Jesus said that He would be building. And He said, the church that I'm building, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He takes this very serious. His temple is a place where He manifests Himself. When we come together, He wants to manifest Himself. He wants to be glorified. He wants to be pleased in our midst and by how we come together in Him. We're going to learn as we go through this series what it means to actually come together. Sitting in the same building, is that enough? Well, it's a start. We need to be in one place. But the Scripture also says that we should be in one accord. And it's not a Honda, by the way. We need to be in one place and one accord. And when we are in one place and one accord, then we're beginning to be the church that Jesus is pleased with. We're going to get into this more as we go. So what do we learn today? Number one, individually, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Your body matters. Your health matters. Your sanctification of your body, how you keep it, matters. How you present it to the world matters. What you do to it, how you doctor it up, how you dress it up, it matters. It says who belongs. Whose dwelling place this really is. And then secondly, collectively, God says we are the temple that He's building. You have a place in the building. If you're born again, you have a place. There's no loose bricks. God's not keeping a brick bat aside so He can throw at the devil every now and then. So don't come up with some sort of strange analogy that God doesn't have to try to justify not being a part. There is no justification for not being a part. You must be a part. You must be fitly joined together. And when you're fitly joined together, you must be supplying. When we meet, there must be a supply. If I'm so dead spiritually, you're getting nothing out of me, something's wrong. We need to minister one to another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for the truth of Your Word. We thank You, Lord God, that You have a new covenant temple that You're building and that You want us to be a part of and that You care very deeply about. And Lord, we're only scratching the surface of how important this is. But Father, I pray that our eyes would be open to see and that we'd get a glimpse of what You're doing and what's important to You and what pleases Your heart. And all the things that we think please You, Lord God, that have no bearing on Your glory and You being pleased. Lord, help us to get an accurate picture. Help us to see things properly and correctly. And we thank You for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.